In this week's episode of the Lausanne Project podcast, it's my privilege to have Chidem Oz of the Department of History and Cultures at the University of Bologna as my guest to talk about what she calls Ottoman paperscapes, the contested spaces of Ottoman nationality. Chidem, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, John. Thank you very much for having me.
Now, your research into Ottoman nationalities, questions of citizenship and so forth, passports and who gets them and who doesn't, has taken you to the Ottoman archives in Istanbul, Boa, on many occasions. But when you went there, you found you weren't alone. You were surrounded by non-academics. What were they doing there?
So I've spent some like 16 years in the archives, and I like being there, of course, as an historian. And in the recent years, I realized this crowd in the Ottoman archives at the entrance, usually information registration desk. And so what they're doing there, they are trying to recover some documents of their ancestors. So they're trying to recover their Romanian, Bulgarian citizenships in order to get access to a European passport and get access to and get rid of this heavy visa regulations for Turkish people. But they are like, they're not doing it for themselves. It's obvious. They're elderly. They are mostly like grandpas, grandmas, mostly grandpas. But this crowd is something new, something recent. I mean, recent means like 4 or 5 years at least. It was so exciting, of course, this story. To me, I always like this, between past and present.
Your research is mainly focused on, so far at least, on the years around World War I and our beloved Lausanne period. But at its broadest, I suppose it's bookended by the at one end the invention, as it were, of Ottomans under the first nationality law in 1869, and then at the right at the other end, the 1964 Turkish citizenship law. Now that's a long period, but I wondered if you could just briefly summarize what the main events and trends were in that century.
Perhaps, though, I should begin with this, what I mean by these paperscapes. It's about the population that was attached to the Ottoman Empire through various levels of Ottomanness. So I do not mean, like, of course, they are still part of those paperscapes, like Anatolian, Turkish, Muslims, and so. But the research is about those who were attached to the Ottoman Empire, not like, certainly part of it. So these people had liminal citizenships. They were living in those contested spaces. They could opt in or out Ottoman nationality. So mostly about, a space that in which papers were literally dispersed around. And because the Ottomans, they had rather an inclusive understanding of nationality. It's not that, they were considering the welfare of their citizens or, citizenship rights, political rights. So they were considering it a matter of sovereignty, a matter of having judicial authority over their population, over the population living in the empire. And they were very anxious about this sovereignty because we had the capitulations, that system of capitulations in the Ottoman Empire, in which most foreigners were exempt from Ottoman law and judicial authority, and they were living under an extraterritorial regime, a very advantageous one, considering the conditions, for instance, military obligations, and so I mean, or taxes that an Ottoman citizen had to pay. So that was the real anxiety behind Ottoman nationality law. That's why they were trying to, distribute and bring a lot of people under Ottoman authority through distributing Ottoman nationality to them, bringing them under judicial authority. And literally, there was a great competition in that Mediterranean space, that Eastern Mediterranean, Ottoman Balkans, including. And Caucasus, let's also include the a transnational, trans-imperial space about citizens who will have the most the number, the highest number of citizens, nations, because then they could have more influence politically. They could just use that kind of like a strong hand to advance other claims there. So it's about this anxiety that pushing the Ottomans, distributing Ottoman nationality. So from 1869, it's just defining yes, a little bit who was an Ottoman. And of course, that now that you mentioned the Lausanne, First World War, the armistice, the Treaty of Lausanne, that's the period, especially in the article, those paperscapes, in that article of paperscapes I mentioned, it's the time that we have this space of Ottoman nationality. In its, how to say, it's like a boom in papers that the First World War, especially the First World War, and then all problems that continued after the war. It was related to the Young Turk regime applied during the First World War in the Ottoman Empire. The Young Turks, they were trying to they abolished unilaterally at least the capitulations, and they were literally distributing Ottoman nationality to anyone who could, just provide, meet some conditions. So a lot of people, in order to escape from the Young Turk enemy alien regime, because otherwise they would be like, they would have a really different status, like enemy aliens in the Ottoman Empire. In order to escape that, they accepted Ottoman citizenship. That's how, those papers started to be distributed more and more. That space just got broader during that period. And during the armistice and occupation, what the Allies were trying to do was to tidy it up. Literally, who was really Ottoman, and they were trying not to recognize all those nationality changes done during the First World War, first of all, and they were trying to make it easy, obtaining foreign citizenship for Ottoman subjects as well.
But as you say, they're also competing among themselves, the victorious powers, accusing each other of overprotection.
Exactly. That's the space, So that's the same space actually, that kind of paved way to the organization and reorganization of what you want to call like Turkish independence, no? The same actually. So they were competing each other for gaining more nationals in that Ottoman space. So in the meantime, we have all this, Turkish independence, war, and so, and Sèvres Treaty, Treaty of Sèvres, and then the Lausanne Treaty, actually, which would really, well, it's hard to say also from your project, it will stabilize, who is who belongs where, kind of, let's put it that way. And if you ask me, that Ottoman paperscapes, it's still alive today. And initially I thought, I will finish it 1964. But when you consider those, trying to recover their citizenship, and then I went further, like looking at this, 1964, when they were declared, these last Ottomans missing, they were declared missing.
What did they mean by missing? I was struck by that. How are they stateless or missing? How can you be missing?
Literally, they had to, if you want to keep your citizenship, Ottoman or whatever, Turkish, you had to go and register yourself and your address abroad to a Turkish consulate, to an embassy, so that, to say, I want to continue being a Turkish citizen, but I'm living abroad here. So these people had, they never left a trace, actually. So these are the missing people. But of course, I have to go and check, if I can find some lists of these missing people. I already found some of them opposed this decision. I was like, no, I'm not missing. We're not missing. We are living here. We just, there was a real extraordinary situation there. They were not able to register themselves at a consulate or so. So it continued, I said, okay, 1964, at least I can finish this story there, the chronology, but it goes on.
It sounds like this research is very people focused, and that seems to be something quite pioneering in your research. Obviously, there's a lot of, as you've already mentioned, jurists wrestling over how to interpret this particular regulation or this treaty article. But you describe your own approach as a social history approach. What do you mean by that, and how is it different from previous work?
Well, yeah, actually, Ottoman nationality or any citizenship story nationality from a legal perspective, it's well studied, actually. But it's mostly about bringing human element to the story, actually prioritizing that element. That's the thing. Not it's not about, how the law, of course, that's important. The law was interpreted, why they imagined Ottoman nationality law that way, no? Their motives, what they were trying to achieve, the Ottoman. But I'm trying to understand what people were trying to achieve, and how much they could insert their agency into that legal framework. That's the, and what kind of conditions, just defined the limits of that agency. So that's why it's important to know from the very beginning. Yeah, that's the difficulty about social history, actually. You have the legal background, you should have it well constructed. You should know all the vacuums, gaps, or whatever. All interpretations. You have to know all of these. And then taking those case studies, it can be an Armenian citizen, stripped of citizenship. It can be a, those survivors, genocide survivors. And so while reconstructing, always foregrounding, prioritizing their experience. So nationality here, of course, it's a legal status. It's about belonging and so, but it's also an experience.
Yeah,
So,
I mean, there seems that your research is at a meeting point from, as you've said, we've talked partly about states, in a sense, using nationality to almost go shopping for people, but then you also look at individuals doing regime shopping, where they're saying which set of laws or which states can I manipulate for my own family's interests, right? So I wonder if we can sort of finish by coming full circle back to those grandpas that you referred to at the beginning. I was very excited to hear that for the book that you're working on now, a extension of your Paperscapes article, you're going to be doing oral history interviews. What role do you see those playing in your research?
Yeah, it's actually about that, you know, connection between past and present, and showing that those paperscapes, you know, how it's still alive, that Ottoman nationality space is still alive and still a contested space, just like, you know, from the beginning, no, it was a contested space. So it continues to be, you know, affecting people's lives. It continues to be like nationality as an experience, part of that, you know, and there is a lot of agency there. But I want to find, you know, the experience there. So you can only realize it through an oral history, actually. I want to also interview the lawyers who are trying to, you know, of course, it's a job. I know economical benefits and so, but really, some of them they learned Ottoman Turkish. They learned how to make research in Ottoman archives. They know how to reconstruct family histories, connections, and so. So, can I learn as an historian something from them? Really, it's a question. Or us, you know, historians, can we learn something from these today's jurists, you know, if you want to say their experiences? Can we learn something from that? And how do they interpret? How do they see this legal continuity between Ottoman, you know, nationality or Ottoman times, let's put it even, you know, broader, and today? What do they see there? Do they really consider it as continuity? Or from their own today's legal perspective, or what are the ruptures in their eyes? So these kind of questions I have in mind. I haven't started that part yet. So it became eventually my personal experience, you know, my own nationality as well. I mean, I'm a double citizen. I have Italian and Turkish nationality. So it was also a little bit about that too, you know, as a woman living in a different country than my original nationality, having a different nationality through marriage in my case, and experiencing also, you know, another legal system. So that was also a little bit about my own story. My son, for instance, an Italian citizen, and you are pregnant, you are a Turkish citizen, but as soon as your son, you know, you give birth to your son, daughter, whatever, he or she becomes the citizen of that state, but you are still there, you know, you are not that, you know, it's such, you know, I mean, it's a little bit about also, yeah, personal experience.
Yes, I mean that's wonderful. When I go to archives, I often try to ignore the people around me and sometimes wish they weren't there. But I think the next time I go to an archive, I think I'm going to look around me and think what stories there might be, what angles that I'm missing by not looking at how they are using these paperscapes in your case. Chidem, thank you so much for coming to tell us about your research, and we wish you all the best for the book.
Thank you very much, John. This was a great opportunity for me to talk about my research, and thanks for these great questions.